This is the day in 1965 when rioting broke out in Los Angeles. Before that day, it's likely that most Americans had never heard of a neighborhood called Watts. The name soon became synonymous with urban unrest in the civil rights era.
Fires have burned all over the southeast and central part of this city at one time or another today. Looting is rampant.
That TV newscast from 1965 depicted a riot that left 34 people dead in the California summer. NPR's Mandalay Del Barco went to Watts this summer and found many of the old tensions still there.
40 years after Watts went up in flames, a grandmother who everyone here knows remembers every detail.
They called me Sweet Alice Harris. I was in the riot. I wasn't by the riot. I was inside that riot.
Harris remembers cops and neighbors running in the streets, guns drawn, young men throwing Molotov cocktails, businesses burning. She still has a souvenir, a fan she admits taking from a department store that was being looted.
I was glad I got that fan. First fan I'd ever owned. I sure was proud of my fan.
At the time, Harris was a 30-year-old beautician living in a housing project with her three children, including a six-week-old baby. 4 decades later, she's a community activist living in a brand new house built by the Extreme Makeover TV show. But she says much of Watts remains dreadful.
That's the way it was, like it is now. Everybody is tense. No job. People scared and they giving up.
The official McCone Commission report would conclude that the riots were rooted in discontent over a high jobless rate, poor housing and medical care, and bad schools. Relations with police were awful then, too, says Harris.
At that time, the community was calling them pigs. They had that chokehold. That was killing a lot of our children. The officers was abusing the young people during that time.
Years of pent-up anger over the police came to a head on a red-hot August 11, 1965, when a highway patrol officer stopped a young man on 103rd and Avalon.
It was a standard routine type arrest.
Lee Minicus was the officer who arrested 20-year-old Marquette Fry for suspicion of driving drunk.
Yeah, he was very angry. He was his blood pressure was probably up twice. He said, you white mother... You ain't going to take me to jail. You're going to have to kill me first.
Minica said a crowd had formed to witness the arrest, and by the time he finished booking Marquette Fry, the uprising was underway. The scene was captured by a local TV news crew.
This is the picture of the riot zone in Watts, East 103rd Street. Every business, practically, in a five-block long front, burning or having already been burned. We can count 14 separate blazes burning at this moment on East 103rd Street. It appears as though before the night is out, there will be no businesses standing.
But this is the very spot it started on, right here, 1965. Right here in front of this apartment on this street.
Tommy Jaquet is a community activist and director of the Watts Summer Festival. In 1965, he was 21 years old and a friend of Marquette Fry, the man whose arrest sparked the riot.
Where were you at that time?
I was here. I was supporting the community effort.
Jaquet doesn't elaborate on exactly what he did when the streets were in chaos, but he says he knows what it was like to be a young black man in 1965, always getting harassed by the police.
It is the abuse of the system that we are opposed to, and it was payback time for the most part.
40 years later, Watts is still filled with stories of survivors, people like community activist Terry Watkins. He was just 12 years old at the time.
It was a near revolution because it impacted the consciousness of the entire American society, and it caused many, many communities that suffered similar problems as Watts to rise up and demand equity, equality, and justice.
Journalist Larry Aubrey was a parole officer in 1965. He says he did not approve of the looting, but he says he did identify with the anger.
People were just venting. People with very little hope just said, the hell with this. The hell with this. We're tired of this, you know.
Sirens, fire engines, ambulances, police cars, burglar alarms. Absolutely incredible scene.
We didn't know what in the hell to do when handling a riot.
Retired LAPD Chief Darrell Gates was a police inspector in 1965. He says his officers were outnumbered and getting shot at by snipers.
First few nights, we had no control whatsoever. They finally got tired and went home. And we got tired, but we didn't go home. So nothing happened, and then they woke up the next morning and came out and started rioting again. We simply were not in control. So it took us about three nights and a vast change in tactics.
14,000 National Guard troops rolled in with tanks to back up the police, and the eyes of the nation were on Watts.
Small army of policemen, most of them carrying shotguns. National Guardsmen riding jeeps with 30-caliber machine guns.
It was a war. That's what it was.
Alice Harris says she saw some people get shot by the police, and she remembers the sound of gunfire was everywhere.
When the National Guard came in and marching down 103rd, that was scary. And them shots, that was scary. But the next morning, when we came out, blood was running down the gutter like water.
By the time the riots ended, 34 people were dead, and as many as 1,000 were injured. 40 years later, Darrell Gates has no sympathy for the people who started it all.
They destroyed themselves. They burned down their buildings. They're idiots. And you can use that word, idiots. Absolute, total, blithering idiots. Payback time. That's not... Well, they're paying back themselves.
A curfew was put into effect, and the entire section declared off-limits to all but residents. The people who live here are suffering great hardship with no grocery, drug, or other service stores able to operate.
What hurt us so bad after the riot, we didn't have a place to go get groceries from.
It took 20 years before Watts finally got a grocery store, and many more years for other businesses to rebuild. Out of the ashes came a hospital, the King Drew Medical Center. But 40 years later, it is racked by scandal and horror stories of unnecessary deaths and may be on the verge of closing. Some things are better, but the jobless rate in Watts is still high and the schools are still in bad shape. Just last month, a SWAT team's accidental shooting of a baby stoked the old tensions between community and police. Sweet Alice Harris, who's seen so much, worries.
You don't want another ride. Nobody wants another ride. If you was in it, you definitely don't want it because it ain't nothing to play with.
Mandalit del Barco, NPR News, Los Angeles.
You can find photographs of the Watts riots plus more stories on the anniversary at npr.org.